Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe.
The title of my sermon today is Fit for Service. Fit for Service is a military term that basically signifies suitable, capable, able to do, right? And in the life of the believer, that also means empowered to do. We have been commissioned by God to bring his message to the world, not just in words, but in deeds, right? Not just in the things that we say, but in the things that we do. And I want to start with a story that tells us in Mark 11:12-14 about the fig tree. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him. And the scripture tells us that the next day when they went out of Bethany again, they were going into Jerusalem, they saw that the tree was withered and had died. And it's something that always perplexed me was, okay, well, if it wasn't season for figs, why is Jesus demanding from this tree to have fruit? So I did a little research and found out that the fig trees in the Middle East, before they leaf, the buds of the fruit come out. So the bud of the fruit comes out, and then the leaf comes out, or as it is leafing, it is also budding fruit. And so Jesus, seeing it from afar, and the scripture tells us he was hungry, saw the leaf and said, "Hey, breakfast, you know, breakfast." And he ran over there, and there was no fruit. And having found no fruit, he cursed it. And what it speaks to me is of having a system of religion that doesn't have fruit, right? It looks like, talks like, walks like, but it's not. And that's problematic. I mean, not just for the tree, right, but for us as Christians. I grew up in an environment in Puerto Rico where it was really important that you looked like a Christian. It was very important that you dressed the right way. It was very important that you carried your Bible. And I don't know why, it was very oppressive to women. You know, I mean, guys, just carry your Bible. Women, you can't wear pants, you can't cut your hair, you can't wear makeup, you can't wear jewelry. I mean, it was like a list of unending things that really, as Jesus said to the Pharisees, you put all these burdens on people, you don't carry them, and yet you're asking people to carry them. And so to me, it was quite shocking when I went to school. I went to Oral Roberts University, and when I went over there and I found all sorts of Christians from all over the world wearing jeans, wearing makeup, cutting their hair, talking about the women specifically, and yet they were going and ministering to the sick, seeing people healed. They were going to prison. They were going to the hospitals. They were feeding the hungry. They were doing the things that believers are supposed to be doing. We weren't doing any of that in Puerto Rico. We weren't doing any of it. What we were doing is going to church every Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. You know, if the church was open, we were expected to be there. And I did, by the way. All my life, I did. You know, and it's funny because I would carry my Bible to school. Now, I would fight in school. I would get into fights. I would get into all sorts of problems in school and then pick up my Bible and keep carrying, you know. You know, not quite showing any fruit, you know what I mean? And so it's problematic, you know. In other words, religion without fruits is dead. It's dead religion, you know. The principle here is it's not enough to say we're Christians. We must have fruit that show that we are. It's super important that we get that concept. You know, we can't just be hearers of the word. We have to be doers of the word. And I pray that, again, that you don't receive this as a rebuke. I don't want to rebuke you, because whatever condition it is that you're in right now that is keeping you from giving fruit, I've been there. I've done them all. You know, I've done all of it. So let's just keep moving. Matthew 7:17-20 says, "Every good tree bears good fruit. Thus by their fruit you will recognize them." Jesus was saying, if you want to know what a person is really like, just look at what they do. That's why I love that song from More Than Words, from Extreme, you know. Don't tell me you love me just by what you do. I'm going to know. You know, show me you love me, and I know that you love me. You don't have to tell me. And so we must have the concept of whatever it is that we hear the Lord tell us, it is for us to go out and do. Ephesians 2:10 gives us the reason, I believe, why we are equipped to go. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Say with me, or repeat after me, to do. Good works. Okay? In advance. God prepared these works for us to do in advance. Okay? The word there in Greek is poema, which is the word that we get for poem. We are God's poem. He made us a masterpiece, and he empowered us to do. In fact, when we go back to Genesis and it says to us that we were created in his image and likeness, we were just not to look like him only, we're also to do like him, okay? That's exactly how he created us. Jesus went on later on to give us a parable of another fig tree. This is in Luke 13:6-9. I'm going to read it quickly. He told them this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit in it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." When I read the scripture, three things stood to me, right? The location of the fig tree, the time that was stated, and then the cutting down versus the pruning. Why would anybody put a fig tree in a vineyard? It's not the place for fig trees. First of all, fig trees have deep root systems, okay? They're going to suck up the nutrients from the vines, so you're not going to get a good crop. It also grows really big. It gets shade, so the sun is not going to hit the vines. It's not a good place for it. So what does it mean? It means that this fig tree was given a special location. This vineyard was given choice land. This fig tree was given an opportunity that no other fig tree really gets, which is we're going to use what should be going to the vine and give it to you, fig tree. And it makes me think of us here in America. You know, we could have been born anywhere. We could have been anywhere, right? But we're here in the U.S. Do you know that the average income in the world is $2 per day? I think it's $2.10. If you make about $40,000 a year, you're considered rich. If you have a roof over your head, you can be renting, okay? If you have a roof over your head, if you have a mode of transportation, even if it's public, if you have electricity, if you have Wi-Fi, if you have a phone, all those things are really signal of wealth. We have been given an opportunity, okay? Unlike the rest of the world, in this country we can worship. In this country we can actually share our faith with other people. You know, it's important that we take advantage of the resources that we have in order to do that. Also the time, right? The scripture tells us that the owner of the vineyard said, 3 years, now no fruit, cut it down, okay? It tells me the principle, which is every tree must produce fruit in the window of time it is given. We only have so much time. You know, I wasted so much time thinking I needed to fix myself in order to serve. I was so focused on all the things that I needed to fix about myself. And let me tell you, it was a lot. And there's still lots of things that I need to fix about myself. But I learned through the process that if I kept waiting to get right in order to serve, I was never going to serve. Because I was never going to be good enough. In my own mind, I'm never going to reach the standard that is expected in order for me to be able to give according to what God anticipates from me. Now, there are two types of fruit that God is anticipating, expecting from us, and that is the inner transformation and then the outward expression. If you go through scriptures, everything from the Old Testament through the New Testament, you see that fruit are both kinds. What God wants from us is for us to change on the inside, be born again. Jesus said, we must be born again. We must come to the kingdom of God as a child, right? It tells us that. And then we must do, right? Freely you have been given, freely give. One of those builds our character, and the other one is to build the church, to build a kingdom. In Galatians 5:22, it tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of those are inner characteristics, are things on the inside that transform us, right? That make us able to do. And I guess that's really what I'm getting at. The work has to start in here first, right? In order to be able to do. But I have learned this in psychology and in other things that I have studied, which is there's God created the human being in such a way that you can either laugh and be happy or be happy and then laugh. You can make yourself cry and then you'll be sad, or you can be sad and then you'll cry. And so in the kingdom of God, you can do and then be healed. I don't know how to explain that. I don't know how exactly that works. All I know is this. Jesus went to the fig tree, and it had no fruit. Now, he had to know that there was something wrong with the tree, right? If it has leaves and it's not giving fruit, there's something wrong, okay? But he said, nobody ever going to eat from you again. So he was expecting fruit anyway. And that's something that we need to reconcile within ourselves. 1 Peter 4:10 tells us, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Another verse, Romans 12:6-8. I'm giving you all these scriptures because you can see that there's just a lot in scripture that tells us about this. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, serve. If it is teaching, teach. If it is encourage, encourage. If it is giving, give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Inward fruit always leads to outward fruit. And that's something that we must embrace, right? If we have accepted Jesus, if we have been baptized, if we have declared our affiliation to the kingdom of God, we have to show kingdom fruit. Okay, now, James said, and it's a tough saying, but it's really true. James 2:18 says, some will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. In other words, faith is the root, and the deeds are the fruit. Okay, they go hand in hand, and Jesus demands both. Now, let me show you how this works. God gives us gifts. We put them into his service. He makes those gifts increase. As those gifts increase, he gives us more fruit, which then we put into his service, and then that increases. And then that is a never-ending cycle. And in my life, let me show you how this has worked. I'm a flight attendant now, 35 years. Never wanted to be one. Never was my intent to be one. I was already an ordained minister of the gospel doing stuff. And God calls me through a dream to take this job. I don't want to do it, but I'm there. That's another principle that I put here. It doesn't matter what your attitude is. Do what you're called to do. Okay? It doesn't matter how you feel about it. It doesn't matter what your inclination is. It doesn't matter how tired you may be. Okay? If you have a word from the Lord to do something, go do it. And this is how it started for me. I'm sitting on the jump seat. Robert, go take a Coke to 7C. He just finished his drink. Okay. Get up from my jump seat. Take him a Coke. It was empty. There it is. Okay. And then later on, some other day. Robert, take a blanket to 17C. We don't have any blankets. Figure it out. It's like, okay. Okay, I go looking around, you know. Oh, there's one there, not being used. You're using this? No? Take it to 17C. Okay. After hundreds of those, right, years later, I'm with Bishop and Mama Sunny in another country, And I love spending time with them because when I'm with them, my gift grows. It's pretty amazing, okay? So I'm with them in this other country, getting ready for bed. We're getting ready to minister at this church, and the Lord says, tell the pastor tomorrow, Peru no, Argentina sí, sí. Say that again. Peru no, Argentina sí, sí. You going to give me any context? Just do what I tell you. Okay. That's how he talks to me. Okay. So I always present it to Bishop, right? I always tell him, hey, I heard this last night because we travel quite a bit of places. And when I'm with them, I'm telling you, my prophetic gift just grows. And so it's like, this is what I was told. Should I share it? I said, if you see an opportunity, share it. Okay. At the end of the service, I approach this pastor, never having met him before. And I go, Pastor, I have a word from you from the Lord. This is what he told me last night. Peru no, Argentina sí, sí. His eyes go like that. Does that mean anything to you? He goes, yeah, I've been invited. We have been invited to Peru, but we have been invited twice before, and both times they have canceled us. We don't want to go. And I said, well, what about Argentina? He says, well, I was invited twice this year. And I said, okay, well, the word is for you. You do whatever. A year later, I'm with Bishop in Mendoza, Argentina, getting ready to go in through the door to the service, and here pulls a car up, and there's a pastor. He steps out, and he goes, Peru no, Argentina sí, sí. And there he was. Completely blew my mind. It's like, wow, check this out. So again, it starts with serving the Coke. Starts with serving the pillow. It starts with serving the blanket. And now God's talking to me about pastors and stuff like that. I go with Joe, right? We've traveled with Joe quite a bit in ministry. And we were doing a ministry event in Houston last year. And a couple of friends of mine just decided to come and visit. I shared this with Kendi recently. And I'm sharing with them. Now, here's Joe's ministry. Joe's ministry is a ministry of the heart. And she can see your heart, let me tell you. Well, I'm around her, I start seeing hearts. I mean, that's just how it works. And this couple is standing there just for about 10 minutes outside in the lobby. And I look at her and I say, this woman wants a baby. And I'm like, hey, you want to have a baby? She goes, well, we've been trying 7 years, 8 years or whatever. No baby. And I said, well, let me tell you something. God uses me this way. You know, so if you want a baby, get ready. I said, do you have a room in your house that's empty? He goes, yes. Okay, go and make a nursery. That is your act of faith. Go make a nursery. The baby's coming this year, I told her. Okay, prayed. And by the way, this has happened now 7 or 8 times. Every time I pray for these people, I don't feel nothing. Okay, it's not about feeling. It's about doing, right? And so I don't feel nothing. I just pray for them. Completely forgot about it. Went on about my way. January the 2nd, I get a call. And it said to me, hey, Robert, we want to thank you for praying for us. We just had a baby boy, and we didn't have a clue that we were pregnant. I said, okay, how does that work? And I go, well, my wife went to the doctor on December the 29th with pains in her stomach, and we thought something was wrong in her stomach. She goes, and the doctor says, you're not having stomach problems. You're in labor. I'm like, what? You're having a baby, like, tomorrow. The baby came the next day, 1 day before, 2 days before the end of the year, as I stated to them that they were going to have it that year. And so now he tells me, now we're scrambling, right? Because we don't have stuff. And I was like, wait a minute. Didn't I tell you to go and create a nursery for that baby? He goes, yeah. I said, well, then it's your fault. You know, God speaks to you. Do, right? Okay. So that's how it has been in my life. Now, I know we're running out of time here, so let me get to this. Why would a tree planted in a good soil not produce fruit? There's two reasons. It's either diseased or it has a bad root system. And when it comes to humans, abuse, rejection, neglect, betrayal, all those things make our tree diseased. Now, that can come from dad and mom. That can come from school. That can come from our friends. That can come from church. That can come from a whole bunch of places. I have no idea what has happened to you, okay? But I'm pretty sure in a room this size, there are people here who have been sexually abused. There are people here who have been physically abused. There have been people here who have been betrayed, hurt, wounded by people. And if you are like me, what that means is that as that poison seeps into the root, our roots become bitter, unforgiving, fearful, insecure, jealous, low self-esteem, all of those, me. Every single one of those, okay, that was me. And what I decided to do was simply, I'm going to make my gift available to God and let him help me do what he's asking me to do, because I can't do it. I can't make a baby. I can't hear no word from God and have it be exactly true. And you don't know how many times that has happened. And it's amazing to me. I mean, it's shocking to me when it happens. It's like, wow, this is pretty crazy, okay? The principle is often the things that keep us from producing fruit are not visible. They're hidden underground. We got to deal with the root. The fruit will eventually come out if we deal with the root. Now, again, you may think that you have to do those things first in order to serve. Not true. I have found that to be, for me, exactly like that. I just decided to, God opened the door, I walked through it. God opens another door, I walked through it. God told me to be at American Airlines, I'm at American Airlines. 35 years now, still waiting for my Exodus. Exodus, please, Lord. What is it? Deliver us. I'm with the Prince of Egypt, you know. Get me out of here, you know. But the truth of the matter is that he has used that as training ground for service. You know, in one moment, Bishop says to me, come with me to Colombia. I need a translator. I'm like, okay, I haven't done it in 30 years, but let's go. It was horrible. I did horrible. It was bad. It was really bad. You know, I asked the driver going home because I was so proud, right? I got through it. In my mind, I got through it. I asked the driver, so how was the interpretation? He goes, well, brother, I think something was missing translation. Maybe it's a language barrier. And then Bishop says, hey, we're going to Puerto Rico. Come with me. We preached 17 nights, 16 times in 17 nights or something like that. And just like that, my gifts got better, got better, got better, got better. Then he has an event here at Maldonado's church, 6,000 people. It being broadcasted to 140 nations. And he goes, Robert, I want you to translate for me. They did not want me. They didn't know me. They didn't know who I am, you know. And he says to me just before we go outside, Robert, you were born for this. I says, yes, sir. And I went out there and I killed it, right, of course, because God is good. Because God is good. And after that, the fear is gone. Now I can pick up the mic at any time, you know, because I know it's not me. You know what I mean? I can talk about football. God's going to manifest the same. You know what I mean? It's him doing it. It's not me, okay? So what I'm going to encourage everybody to do is get in the game.
Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.